All right. Thank you, Tiffany. What a good truth to be singing about and to get happy about. Amen. To rescue a sinner like me and like you and like all of us. Amen. Well, I want you to open to the Old Testament tonight, and I believe I'm looking somewhere around 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13, just a short little text, a short little story there tonight. It's in the days of the prophet Elisha, who followed the prophet Elijah, and in the days where God was using his prophets to try to lead Israel correctly, in a time when a lot of bad kings were coming on the throne and going. I'm going to give it a little bit of a catchy title tonight. I told the Sunday school class this morning, and it's certainly not going to be a deep scriptural message tonight, but I'm going to speak to you a little bit tonight on the subject of the return of the zombies. The return of the zombies. And there's something about death that entices, you know that? We fear it. The Bible says we're in bondage to that fear all of our days. Hebrews 2:14, I believe. But something about death that entices, intrigues us, scares us, something like that for just about everybody. works that way. I told you a story a long time ago about the grave diggers that dug a grave, but the funeral got called off because it rained so hard, and they were going to do it the next day, so the grave was left open. That night, a fellow that might have had one too many come staggering through the cemetery and slipped in the mud and fell in the grave hole. He tried to get out, but every time he'd jump up, it'd kind of cave in, and he couldn't get out, and he tried and he tried. Finally, he just gave up, sat down in the corner, thought maybe he'd get some help after daylight. So he just sat there. But another guy come through the cemetery, done the same thing, slipped and fell in the same hole, and he started jumping to get out. And the fellow sitting over in the dark corner said, it's no use, you can't get out of here. But he did. Amen. You know, there's something about it. We make plans for death. We want to live forever. We take pills, and when we feel like they're probably going to finally not work, we write wills, pills and wills, you know. Preacher did go over to this elderly lady's house. She'd never been married. She was getting on up very feeble and up in years, and she called him over there, and she said, "Preacher, I want you to understand about my will. I'm going to give that to you, but I also want you to understand about my funeral. I do not want any men to be my pallbearers." He said, "Well, Granny," said, "that's a little odd. Why?" She said, "Well, all my life they wouldn't take me out, and I don't want them to take me out after I'm dead." Now, we all talk about death a little bit and fun around with it a little bit, but it's a pretty serious matter because we all hadn't done it yet. You wouldn't be here tonight. I'd say that with some proof that we haven't done it yet. Anything we haven't done yet carries a little anticipation with it, don't it? I know we believe or should believe and should know much about it because we're saved if we believe in Christ and we have His Word as was preached on this morning. And so we know more than the world knows. And I want to say to you, everybody has a little tingling, though, about death. And this whole thing about zombies has come back in the news and come back in the Hollywood and all that business. Now, zombie is supposed to be somebody that's died and been buried and then's come out of the grave and is walking around. You got that? I always thought when I was a kid, even before I was saved, I'd see some kind of zombie movie, and they'd walk like they were already about to drop over. I always thought I could outrun one of those boogers. And I believe if I saw one, I could yet. With all the funning about it, though, that's something that came back from the dead. Now look with me in 2 Kings chapter 13, just two or three verses. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we pick it up in verse 20. And Elisha died. Now, he was a man of God. He worked a lot of miracles, but he died. Good preachers die. Good men of God die. Men like Paul still had to die. And the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Now, apparently, Elisha had been dead a pretty good while. And the Moabites are in the land. Now it says, and it came to pass as they were burying a man. Now, I believe this might have been the Jewish folks here burying a man rather than the Moabites. It could have been the Moabites. It's hard to tell in the text here just a little bit. But there's a group here that's burying a man. That behold, they spied a band of men, maybe the Moabites, somebody they were afraid of. And they cast the man they were burying, into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. Now I wonder what those fellows that dropped him in the hole had to say. Can't you let your imagination run just a little while right there? They want to do it quick. They bury him quick because there's a crowd over here they're afraid of. They see him coming. They drop him in the hole. Can you imagine what he was hollering when he come up? Now, it says he revived. It don't say he died and come back. It said he revived. You know, it's possible he wasn't totally dead. But a miracle took place, and I don't steal a thing from the miracle. I believe everything the Bible says and the way it says it. So a miracle took place, no doubt about that. But in the old days, and still in some places today, sometimes somebody's declared dead when he's not. That still happens. Do you ever hear the statement, dead ringer? Now, dead ringer means, in our talk about it today, we'd say he's a dead ringer for so-and-so. He looks just like so-and-so. But that's not the original meaning. The original meaning, the dead ringer, came from the old days when they didn't have a lot of methods to declare one dead. And when they put him in the box and buried him in the grave, sometimes they'd have a string running out of the hole and out of the box and have a little bell up there. And if the fellow woke up and wasn't dead, he'd pull the string to get attention. Come dig me up. I'm not dead. That's where the dead ringer news came from in the old medieval days. Now, that's what they say anyway. But here this man revived. And what I want to say to you about, and the reason I'm kind of comparing it to zombies in a sense, is because today it's back in the news. Did you see in the newspaper just recently where the police had to shoot a fella down south, Miami or wherever it was, because they caught him, that he had attacked a homeless person, stripped him off, and was eating him. Did you see that in the regular news? I didn't make it up. Hey, by the way, today is so strange, you don't have to make up anything. You just look around, it's there. It's a strange day, folks. And this fellow, even after the police warned him, he was still eating the man's face. And the police, I think the fellow acted like he was going to attack them. They shot him. That's something, isn't it? We got some crazy, crazy stuff going on. Now, in our text, this dead man seemed to revive. And in a sense, maybe you could say he would fit the pattern of a zombie, but not really. Zombie stories come mainly out of Haiti and some of the places where voodoo is paramount, where witchcraft is enthroned. And that witchcraft and voodoo is mixed with even so-called Christian religion in some areas. How many of you remember Brother Swinder that was a member here with us, missionary to Haiti, George Swinder? Sometime we took George with a grain of salt, because he had some wild stories that if you hadn't been with him and seen it, you wouldn't believe it. He told some stories. I asked him, I said, are zombies real? And he said, yeah. He said, two of them come out one night trying to stop my car, me and another missionary. I said, what'd you do? He said, we gassed it. I would have too. So he believed in the zombie thing down there. He believed in the shamans and the witch doctors and the curses and all that, and all the spells and all that that they dealt with in Haiti. And he's got some stories I can't take time to tell you tonight. Now, I watched a little bit of a documentary many years ago and even read a little bit about it, and there's a mystery there. And they say that the witch doctors have a powder that they can blow in somebody's face. They would like to know what the ingredients of it is, and some folks have gone down there and tried to get it, and there's all kind of stories about that. But they say sometimes that the witch doctors can put somebody with this powder under such a spell that they will appear dead, even to the place that their loved ones may bury them, because they think they're dead. And as the story goes, then the witch doctor, the shaman, or whatever he is, voodoo operator, goes out and digs them up. And they become his slaves. And there's the zombie picture you see in the movies. Again, they don't look very healthy. Look like they're staggering around from all the pictures I've seen. Now, I'm talking to you about what is believed. And I got my own theory about some of that stuff. But it's pretty common in Haiti. They claim that Baby Doc, that was the ruler down there for many, many years, that he was into voodooism in a big way. Now, folks, don't think I'm going nuts tonight. I'm doing a little bit different. And you say, well, then don't watch these movies. Don't watch these midnight things. Don't watch it around Halloween, all right? If you can't stand what I'm saying now, don't sit there and look so pious and clean. You're not. Amen? Yeah. We'll go somewhere with this in a minute if you give me time. I got some theories on it. I do know this. Demons love human bodies. They'll even go in animals when they can't get human bodies. That's what the scripture tells us. And I do know this, they'll take one that's already been buried if they can get in him when he's dug up. I don't know all that junk. I just know the Bible forbids you to mess with it. And you see these ghost stories on TV, the celebrity ghost and all, I flash by that stuff. You know what the Bible tells you? It tells you not to try to talk to the dead. It tells you to leave that stuff alone. Of course, most of you don't obey that stuff anyway. Otherwise, you wouldn't be running around with tattoos all over you. Boy, I really hit pay dirt then, didn't I? Read Leviticus 16 sometime about carving in your flesh. Amen. Help yourself. And ladies, that's where you put those little cute tattoos that nobody's supposed to see but your husband. Come on, is right. It's still forbidden in the Word of God. Hey, the crowd's down. It's summertime. And I'll have fun when I want to have fun. Been here 41 years. I ought to be able to cut loose once in a while without you folks judging me too hard. Cut an old man a little slack once in a while. Amen. All right. All this far out business. Demons would rather have a live, healthy body like yours. But they'll take an old decayed thing if they can't get nothing else. And better watch out for that business. Got our kids today almost believing in vampires. That's crazy. It all got started from Vail, the Impaler over in Romania. Talked to some of these boys Morgan boys from Romania. They may know the story there. He didn't drink blood, but he got the vampire thing going over there, and it grows and grows like any gossip does. It just grows and grows, and you actually got folks today thinking vampires are real. There's some folks that imagine themselves vampires. You've known folks that imagine themselves different things, haven't you? I stood back there one night, shook hands after the service, a young, good-looking man, and dressed up in a suit, shook hands with me, and introduced himself as one of the witnesses that would show up on the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation period. And he was as serious as a heart attack. He thought he was. You got all kind of nuts walking around. Amen? Yeah. Fellow imagined himself a chicken. Psychiatrist told him he wasn't. He said, well, that's fine, but what am I going to do with all the eggs? Sometimes imaginations go pretty strong. But today's news is featuring a bunch of amazing stuff. Some of the movie flicks, some of the movies that are out there concerning vampires, and they've got them. I haven't seen any of them, but I've read titles in the paper and stuff. I don't know, Return of the Vampires, Zombie Invasion. The zombies are going to invade us, and they actually had some stuff about how to protect yourself from the coming zombie invasion. And then they had this statement, they're already among us, already here. And it showed a picture of a crowd on the street. Could have been New York, could have been Chicago, could have been Tampa, I don't know. A crowd of people moving down the street, just talking on their cell phones, rubbing shoulders, looking like they were in a trance. And the caption was, if they were among us, who would know it? An unthinking crowd walking down the street in a trance. A bunch of zombies, if you please. How would we know if another one was added to our ranks? Making a sad commentary on humanity today as we look around and see it. But I'll say this. In fact, in the news, I was on the vampire thing a little bit. Did you see this news this week where they dug up two skeletons? Honest, now over in Europe, dug up two skeletons out of a grave and found a steel rod stuck in both their chest. Now the archaeologists or whoever dug it up said it was buried, and they had these rods in their chest because people thought they might be vampires, and so they did that to make sure they couldn't come back to life. Somebody else said, well, it wasn't supposed to be a steel rod, it's supposed to be a wooden stake. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is you got some crazy, crazy stuff going on. Now, here's what I want to say tonight. Human history has revealed some real zombie-like ideas and philosophies that we're facing today. That's why I'm saying the return of the zombies, the return. What I'm saying is a zombie would be one you thought was dead. And yet he come out of the grave, and I'm going along with the popular idea of it, and he comes out of the grave, and he's hard to kill because he's supposed to already be dead. Understand what I'm saying? Now let me move to something that applies to us a little bit. Do you realize today we got some ideas and thoughts that we thought were dead that's come back again? So what do you mean? I mean, we got the zombie of atheism. We thought it was dead, but it's come back again. It's walking our streets again. It's in our town hall meetings again. They got clubs again. They got signs side the road, and you read about it, and they're trying to stop prayer not only in schools and in town halls and everywhere else, but they are attacking everywhere. And atheism that we thought was dead is zombie-like risen again. And it's here and it's there. Now, in some of the times in history, atheism rose up a little bit. But after World War I and II, it pretty well just disappeared, because when you got mothers praying for boys on the battlefield, when you got men that's in the foxhole, when you got a nation whose freedom's at stake, we'll buy pious atheism in a hurry and go to God. And that's what our country did. And so it didn't catch on. It kind of died out during those times. It had its days. In the French Revolution, it had its days with Voltaire. Remember old Voltaire? Oh, Voltaire made a lot of claims. He said, that Bible will be dead in 50 years. In 50 years, Voltaire was dead. And they bought his house and put a Bible printing press in it. That's really fact. That really happened. Old Voltaire on his deathbed. Hey, by the way, all the atheists, you ought to read their deathbed testimonies. Their atheism lets them down. And old Voltaire on his deathbed cried out, I'm abandoned of both God and man. And the nurse that attended him at the bedside said it was so horrible to watch an atheist die, she'd never attend the deathbed scene of another atheist. As he cried out, he was going to hell. Old Colonel Ingersoll was an American. he'd preach on soapboxes, so to speak, up in the Chicago area. And he'd try to defy God, and he'd get a crowd on the street. He'd pull out a pocket watch, and he'd hold it up. He'd say, "Now, if there's a God in heaven, strike me dead in 1 minute." And he'd stand there in the quiet till the minute ticked off. And then he said, "See there, there is no God." One day when he was doing that, an old drunk in the back hollered out, "You tell him, Brother Bob, you tell him, Brother Ingersoll, because you're our only hope." You know what the drunk was saying? He was saying, "You better be right or we're all lost. Yeah, there's a God." Read about old Ingersoll when he had his brother's funeral, though. He broke down and spoke his heart a little bit. And in the eulogy that he gave concerning his brother's funeral, he admitted there was a God. Madeline, we used to call her Madeline Murray O'Hare. Remember what I'm talking about? I mean, she went to court to get under God out of the flag. She got prayer out of the school. She used her young son, William, Bill. She used him as about a 12 or 13-year-old, used him for the case, got to the Supreme Court, got the prayer outlawed in our school. I'll tell you a wonderful story. That same 13-year-old boy got saved and been a preacher now for many years. Amen. I met him personally. I get a letter from him about every month. And our church has sent him a little bit of money to keep me informed on some of the junk going on in Washington, D.C. And I saw him on TV the other night. But you check out the death of all these atheists. Voltaire's death, Ingersoll's death, Madeline Murray, we called her. Do you know what happened to her? Do you know one of her atheist staff robbed her and took her and the other son and his wife out in a field and chopped them in pieces and buried them in a 55-gallon drum on the farm? That's what happened. I heard Bill on TV the other night. He's written a book. You ought to get it. I forget the name of it right now. And the newsman asked him on the TV the other night, said, Bill, "What's your memories of home?" He said, "Well, home was dysfunctional. Home was terrible." His mother said after he got saved and became a preacher, she said to him, she disowned him. She wishes that she had aborted him when he was a baby. And the newsman said that, "How do you feel about that?" He said, "Well, that was nothing new. She told me that when I was growing up, that she wished abortion was legal so she'd have never had to have me." What a thing. But don't you think God might have a sense of humor? Here he's took that atheist woman's son and made him an effective preacher, doing a great work over in the Middle East, over in Israel, and doing a great work right here in America. And like I say, I've shook hands with him. I met him right after he was saved and had some correspondence with him since. And I can't help but think what God did with such a foundation that boy started out with. But now we're looking around today and we're seeing zombieism rise again. Not the kind of zombieism that's in Haiti, but the zombieism of false doctrines and false ideas rising again. Things we thought were dead, like atheism, moving around again, doing damage again. We see the ACLU back in this crowd, this atheist crowd today, and they're doing it against the evidence. Anthony Flew, I've told you so many times, one of the leading atheists in England up in his 80s, when he recanted and said, "I've changed my mind, there is a God," and all the atheist club began to scream and holler, "How could you do that?" He said, "All I'm doing is following the evidence." DNA, for one thing, proves a creator, of course. Zombieism, the zombie of atheism, then the zombie of communism. You say, "Oh, now, preacher, communism's dead." Zombieism is rising again. Or you don't have to call communism communism. You can call it socialism. You can call it progressivism. Don't matter what you call it, Shakespeare said a rose smells the same by any name that you call it. For instance, if I walked out there and there's a rose on the bush and I say, you see that skunk? It still smells like a rose. And if I saw a skunk and I said, see that rose? He still smells like a skunk. So it don't matter what you call communism, it smells the same. It is the same. You ought to recognize it the same. It's a zombie risen from the dead, in a sense. When the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, we said, all right, communism's gone. Oh, no. Alan West. You know who Alan West is? Not Adam West now. I think that's Batman. Alan West, our congressman, black congressman from Florida here. I like what I hear him say. You know what he said the other day? Just twisted the liberals' tails. You know what he said? He said there's about 80 communists in Congress. Oh, the liberals went mad. By the way, I'd like to see Adam West as a VP on the presidential ticket. Amen. He'd be a good one, I'm telling you. But anyway, Adam said about 80 up there in Congress. It don't matter whether you call it communism or socialism. You know what Lenin said? He said those people that think there's a difference between socialism and communism, he said they're just useful idiots. He was a devout communist, and he said that socialism is only one step away from communism. You know what the horrors of communism is? We forget. We talk about Nazism. We talk about 6 million Jews. Yes, they were. Yes, the Holocaust was real, and that's terrible. But at the same time, in the 20th century, communism murdered 100 million souls. Much greater than Nazism, even. Awful. And in these latter years here, they've dug up mass graves all over the place where communism buried them. In the 20th century, socialism rising in America, I mean, it's snowballing. It's snowballing in other places like France. Did you see in the news where the president of France now ran on the socialist ticket and won? Did you see that? Sure. And you know how they do that? They do it with class warfare. They do it by saying, see that bunch over there? They got it and you don't have it. You have a right to it. You ought to take it. And so like I used to do with my two puppies, I rub their nose together to make them fight. I know the animal rights folks go nuts over that, but it works. Those puppies never looked up and said, it's Mickey doing this to us. They just looked at each other. You know what we got going on in America? We got puppies looking at each other. They don't know who rubbed their nose together. They just know they ought to fight. Oh, yeah, folks, that's what's going on. Somebody's going to the winner up there. Somebody's pulling the strings, and it's ridiculous, but it's happening. If you don't believe the horrors of communism, spend a little time in Cuba. Do you know even today what the average salary in Cuba is for the government workers? I'm talking about the men that have to repair the streets, clean out the sewer. It's almost $20 per month. Yeah. That's what's going on right now. It's sad. Talk to the ones that's been in jail down there just for speaking up for a few rights. Talk to them about having their mail monitored, their phone calls bugged, everything. The state controls it all. The state takes everything and gives back a little bit. That's communism. In our trips to Russia, some of us been over there. It was sad to see. I looked at what I'd call city workers or employed by the city, out there on the streets and so forth, and you've heard me say this. But the first word that come to my mind was the zombie action. Looked like zombies. Remember Dr. Lee? It was amazing. It's like we don't care. We're just standing here smoking these cigarettes and trying to dodge the cold. And I begin to ask some of them, all this work needs to be done. Why come nobody is working? And I'm going to say it again. I want to hear it again. They said, preacher, they pretend to pay us. And we pretend to work. Isn't that something? I don't want to see America turn into that. I certainly don't. We lose the work ethic. We lose the responsibility that our forefathers had. My, we're going down that road too fast. America's in great danger of losing local control. Socialism, communism comes from the top down. There is a credibility gap between us and our government like it's never been before. I'm talking about you think you know, but you don't know. You think atheism died, but it's come back. You think communism died, but zombie-like, it's come back. And it's a real force to be dealt with today. America's got a real credibility gap. I was up at West Virginia not just a few weeks ago preaching. And Brother Jonathan up there, the pastor of the church, took me to show me something. Just a little distance away there in the city was this great big resort inn, like a big golf country club place, hotel-like place. But I'm talking about covering several acres and several stories high, but old-style type building and beautiful grounds and so forth. And we just drove up and parked, and he knew the place well. And by the way, you could send me on vacation there. I think the rooms are only about $200 a night. Anyway, might have been worse than that. But he walked me through it. And a lot of foreign folks in there, and of course it's in the South, and a lot of people that could understand me, and I could understand them too. But anyway, it was tea time when we walked through because the English were having their spot of tea. And they had little tables all set around for a spot of tea. And anyway, here's what he wanted to show me. We walked through this place, acres of it, three floors of it. But you know what it really was? That was all camouflage. It was a real secret government facility. This old inn had been there. This club had been there. It was a popular place with foreigners and others for years. But the government had come in, dug under the building, added on to the building, and it was a hidden security place for the American government, for the leadership of our country to be secretly carried into in case of nuclear attack. And floor after floor, and it was so amazing to walk in there and see. You could walk up to a wall like this, and it just looked like a wall. But if you looked at it carefully, that wall would fold as an accordion, and there was a steel wall behind it. Any of you ever remember the little program on TV, the little comedy, Get Smart, Maxwell Smart? Drove up the little car in front of the building, jumped out of the little car and went through this door and went through that door. He was a secret agent, you know. Remember the story? Oh, that's deep for some of you. He had a tall, slim gal that was named Agent 99. Remember that? I can't remember all of it, but sometimes she'd tell him something. He'd say, I told you not to tell me that. You remember that? Hey, that was back when you could get three channels on TV. Maybe. On a good night. Well, he was mocking that kind of place. We have a place like that in the Cheyenne Mountain area, and we have some others. When 9/11 happened, Dick Cheney was sped away to Greenbrier there in West Virginia, and that was the place that he and much of the staff was brought to in case the attack continued on 9/11. So we walked through there and we saw not all of it. It took you a long time. But the amazing thing was they built it right under the city's nose. They built it right under the neighbor's nose. They built a lot of it at night, and a lot of the workers didn't even know what they were working on, except they were putting an addition on this great big country club. Amazing. Big wheel on the steel door to close it off, breathe that apparatuses out through the mouth. I mean, major stuff. And then one of Bill Clinton's staff discovered it and pulled the plug on it, so now they don't use it anymore. That's why we could walk through it. Now it's public knowledge. You can go get your room and they'll let you see it. Amen? But you know what? They got others you don't know about. And a lot of it's right under our nose, just like that one was. Spent millions upon millions of dollars on that particular thing. there's a big credibility gap there, and local states and local control is being lost. I'm going to say something to you now that I can't prove, but I'll let you check it out. I'm going to give you a report, this thing I'm talking to you about now, talking about losing state control, losing local control. The Foreign Military Intelligence Directorate. Now get what I said, Foreign Military Intelligence Directorate. That was prepared for Prime Minister Putin in Russia. Report that he got was that the White House, the government, was threatening to issue warrants for 14 American governors to charge them with treason. I can't prove this, but I can tell you the source. The source is the Freedom Fighters Radio Net. Check it out, and don't ask me for it again. I'm just telling you what they're saying. They're saying Putin has this information that the governors have been threatened with letters that are called missiles, and the fellows that receive the letters under the threat of treason cannot even admit they received a letter. You say, well, they're fearing the South is going to rise again. They're fearing all these Southern governors. No, wait a minute. One of the governors is Tim Pawlenty up in Minnesota. That's not Georgia or Florida. Amen? Say, what's the matter? What are they going to charge them with treason for? Because they are threatening and perhaps have already started trying to plan and put up a state defense system that the governor or the state will be in control of. See, the state's not really in control of the National Guard. That's federal. State defense forces. And if these governors proceed with it, they're being threatened now with being arrested and charged with treason. Now, is that true? I don't know. But I'm going to say this. I'll guarantee you the Russians got more accurate report on things than many of us have. For us checking us out. Too bad, but so. I'm talking to you about the zombieism of communism coming back. The horrors of China, one child per family. One school, did you see it in the news this week? One school up north is now allowing Planned Parenthood to have an office in the school. Can you believe that? So the teenage girls that get pregnant go into the Planned Parenthood office for counseling. Wonder what they're going to counsel them to do. I'm talking to you about the horrors of a communism rising again, coming back from the dead. We thought it's dead. President Reagan said, pull the wall down, Gorbachev, and now communism's dead. Don't kid yourself. Like a zombie, it's come out of the grave. Then I'm going to tell you about the worst zombie of all and quit. The worst zombie I fear the greatest is a Christian zombie. It's a zombie I would call the Christian acceptatism or apathy or toleration. We move to the place that Christianity is sitting around like a zombie. Like the workers in Russia that didn't get paid, so they just moped around. We're seeing a moping Christianity today. We're seeing an accepting Christianity today. Don't matter what happens, we don't get shook up. Don't matter how many babies they abort every day, we don't fuss. It don't matter that we are now saying that gay marriage is equal with straight folks. Don't matter. Hey, by the way, there's a coalition. I'm going to investigate this a little further. There's a coalition of black preachers that are right now trying to get an appointment with the president over this gay marriage thing. They are upset. Do you understand that the Episcopal Church, Church of England, you know it was pretty strong on the mission field many years ago? I'm talking about in Africa and other places. Do you know that when the Episcopal Church in America and in England, especially in England, when all of them begin to elect gay bishops and enthrone homosexuality, that the black church in Africa rose up against it and withdrew from that organization. And now we have the President of the United States saying it's okay for gay marriage. He and the Vice President both. Now, thank God, I hope these black preachers raise Sam. I hope they do. I really do. There's one down here in Lake Wells. I told you recently. Somebody told me. I got to drive down there and see it. Got a sign out in front of his church. I don't know if it's a Baptist church, Methodist church, what it is. But on the signboard, it says, Mr. President, please evolve into a man of God. I like that. I like that brother's guts. Amen. But anyway, I fear the zombieism that's moved into Christianity. Just going through the motions, but dead. Just dead. Just don't care. I want to tell you something. That kind of zombieism in Christianity has happened before. It happened somewhat in the Dark Ages. You know what brought it to the light and brought life to it? God's Word. When the Bible was put out, wherever plowboy had a copy of it, they say, well, the Dark Ages gave way to the Industrial Revolution. No, wait a minute. They gave way to the light of the Word of God that produced the Industrial Revolution. That's what brought the light. Still what brings the light today is the Word of God. That's what gave birth to freedom across this country in America. Whitfield, Wesley, they tried to preach in what we'd call the Episcopal Church or the Church of England, but they were too fundamental. That church and state was united. The preacher got paid. I mean, the people were forced to go to church and forced to give to support the church. But when Wesley and Whitfield, they went to their schools and got up to try to preach, they were too straight, too much of a Bible believer. They wouldn't let them in the pulpits. So they went out. Wesley went out in the graveyard outside the church that his dad had pastored at, and got up on the tombstone and preached. And the people left the building and went out to hear him. Whitfield and Wesley shook them up, and the light broke. They came to the colonies in America. You read about it. And brother, they preached from the colony of Georgia all the way up to the Boston, to the Boston Common. When Whitfield, they knew he was coming, he was preaching all the way up there. And when he got up there to that so-called college up there in Boston, the headmaster come out and he said, Whitfield, I have rued the day that you would come. In other words, I've hated the idea that you would come. And Whitfield said the devil did too. And he started preaching on the Boston Green there. Hey, I'm talking about men that God used to bring the light from the Word of God and save and buy time and lay a foundation for the American Revolution that produced America. Men like that, that God used, getting the truth of the Bible. That's why you find the Bible through our founding documents. That's why you read in the Declaration of Independence, even back when slavery was in England, and in many other places, you read that all men are created equal in the Declaration of Independence. That's light from the Word of God. Somebody said, I hate this statement. I'm going to teach on it one of these times. I hear it on the news. Well, the Bible condoned slavery. No, it did not. In fact, Exodus 11, I believe it's chapter 11, God gives the death penalty for a man that steals another man. Amen. Help yourself. Look it up. Look it up. And the truth of the matter is, I can't open that can of worms right now, but I just simply want to say, folks, we Christians have got to quit becoming zombies. We've got to be alive. We've got to stand for something. We've got to reach our families and reach our kids and reach our neighbors. And we got to get the truth out while we can, because the light's going out in this whole world. We got to get away from this lukewarmness that we'll accept anything here or there. We got to get away from the church tolerating everything and passing everything away in apathy. The greatest damage the zombieism can cause us is the damn souls that we love. And that's what it's doing. We better wake up and get the truth out while we can. Some of these heresies, and I could go on that subject tonight, some of these heresies we thought were dead and buried have risen up again. And they're walking not only our streets, they're sitting in our pews. And if we're not careful, they're speaking to our heart. And the next thing you know, we're going to be under the curse of seeing souls that could have been saved die lost and go to hell. That's the terrible part of it. That's the terrible part. I say to you tonight, let's look in the mirror and say, I don't want to see a zombie looking back at me. I don't want to act half dead. I don't even want to be lukewarm. I want to be fired up for Amen. God. Amen? Amen? I hope that's the way you feel. Let's stand, please. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, I wonder tonight if our hearts were on fire. Lord, if we could get the zombieism out of them. If we could act alive. What a difference we could make. What a difference we could make in our church. What a difference we could make in our city and in our neighborhood and in our families. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to come alive again, to stand against the evil that the devil's pulling out of the old graves and putting before us today. May we not accept it, Lord. May we not tolerate it. May we stand against it and speak the truth. I pray you'd bless the invitation if there's one here unsaved. If they have some fear of some fancy tale about vampires or zombies or something else, they better fear something that's real. And that something they better fear is dying lost and going to a devil's hell. Lord, I pray for their soul tonight if they might be here or out in radio land. And I pray, Father, for those that are saved and know they are tonight, that our souls would be on fire. Alive to serve you. Lord, bless the invitation. Have your way. Speak to that heart, Lord, that will respond to you tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.